Some of what we can use to describe ourselves is very often things that have gone on in the past, things that we have been previously involved in, our upbringing, our families that are around us, the things that we've done with people, all that kind of thing. And that's kind of where we come from. And it's always important to remember that. One of the often quoted lines when it comes to things like politics is, "Those who forget the past are doomed to repeat it." It's important that we know where we've come from, because that helps us to know where we're going. And this is the theme that we're going to be looking at as we look at this first part of Stephen's sermon to the Sanhedrin. Now, it is a long passage, and we're not going to be reading all of it. But we are going to be reading some of it, and it's going to be split into two parts. And we're going to read the first part now. So if we can have the words on the screen. And if we all, as always with our cafe service, if we can read the reading all together after three, one, two, three. "Then the high priest asked him, 'Are these charges true?' To this he replied, 'Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you.' So he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. After the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you are now living. He gave him no inheritance here, not even a foot of ground. But God promised him that he and his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at that time Abraham had no children. God spoke to him in this way: 'Your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves,' God said. 'And afterward, they will come out of that country and worship me in this place.' Then he gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision, and Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him 8 days after his birth. Later, Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob became the father of the 12 patriarchs." So that's the first part. And it was a bit long, but already we can start to see how Stephen is painting the picture of where he comes from, indeed where the Israelites came from. And in our next part, which we'll be doing after our next song, we'll be seeing what he's starting to point towards. Okay, we're now going to have the second part of our reading, which again we'll read together and it will appear on our screen. "As the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. Then another king, who knew nothing about Joseph, became ruler of Egypt. He dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they would die. At that time, Moses was born. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Sinai. When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. As he went over to look more closely, he heard the Lord's voice: I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses trembled with fear and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, take off your sandals. The place where you are standing is holy ground. I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to set them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt. This is the same Moses whom they had rejected with the words, who made you ruler and judge? He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself, through the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He led them out of Egypt and did wonders and miraculous signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and for 40 years in the desert. Well done for getting through. As I said, it was quite a long bit, and if you notice the different cut bits at the end, there were certain bits that we did miss out, like, for example, Jacob having his 12 patriarchs. We finished our first reading, we missed the bit of there and them going out to Egypt and all the things that led them to be there in the first place. So we've heard Stephen's, the first half of Stephen's sermon. So I thought I'd point out some of the things that stood out to me from all of this. Now, as I've already said, the theme we're basically seeing is knowing where you're coming from. And so Stephen's whole arc so far has been pointing the religious leaders of the Jews in the Sanhedrin to what has gone before. Stephen knows where he's coming from. And as part of that, he also reminds them that bad things were turned to good. As Mark mentioned about the bad things happening, Stephen reminds them of this, but points to what became of those bad things. The lasting impact was actually turned to good by God. And then he also points towards God's salvation plan. So let's have a look at these three very quickly. So first of all, Stephen knows where he's coming from. Do like that picture of the floppy disk and the memory stick. Remember where you came from. Or rather, I am your father. But Stephen refers back to Abraham. He refers back to the first person that the Bible shows God directly relating to and actually speaking to since the Garden of Eden and Noah. So you've got Garden of Eden, you've got Noah, and then after that, all the way through to Abraham, and that's where God starts his relationship with a family that grows to be a nation. He talks about how God tells him to go to the Promised Land, even though the Promised Land isn't going to be his when he goes there. It's going to be that of his descendants. But he still tells them to go there. And then he reminds them that God promised Abraham a family and an inheritance that would last. Abraham had no children at this point. Abraham was already pretty old. And as we know, he only got older and still had no children. So that when the three visitors came, Sarah laughed when they said that she was going to be with child in a year's time. But God made the promise. And that promise led to the Israelites, led to the Jewish nation that was there, even though they were under Roman rule at that point. Stephen, a Jew who was now a Christian, reminding the Jewish leaders of where they had come from. He points towards the bad things that happened. We didn't read it out as part of our readings, but one of the bad things that was turned to good Next one, please, Miller. The bad things that were turned to good was when Joseph was beaten up by his brothers. They were going to kill him. They then sold him as a slave. He went all the way to Egypt. He got arrested because the woman that was married to his master fancied a little bit of him, but he said no, and so she claimed that he did something that he didn't, and so he ended up in jail. That's not really a good timeline for someone's life. And yet, God turned it around. And this slave, this imprisoned slave, ends up being the second most powerful person in all of Egypt. God turned things around. Stephen points out that God has said that this was going to happen. He said that trials were going to come. And he also said that he would still fulfill his promise. And so Stephen is pointing out where this happened. He points out that famine... Oh, not quite that one yet. He points out that famine happened. The whole reason why Joseph's brothers went to Egypt was because there was a famine in their land. Famine's not a good thing. But God used this for good, to bring all of his family to be with him in Egypt. He shows through all of this that this is God's plan. It's all part of God's plan. All part of his promise for what is to come. Then he talks about God's salvation plan. He talks about Moses bringing God's salvation plan for that time. Talks about how he was born, how he had to be put into a basket in the river because they were killing all the children. He mentions the plagues, the escape from Egypt. He reminds them that Moses was rejected by his own people, sent to be their ruler and deliverer despite this. And he points out all of the things that Moses did following God in the wilderness, the miraculous signs and wonders. I don't know about you, but hearing that someone was rejected by their own people, sent to be their ruler and deliverer, did many miraculous signs and wonders. I don't know about you, but I think there's a little bit of a hint that Stephen's pointing to here. I think he might be connecting someone with Moses. I'll let you have a think about who that might be. But all of this pointing towards where they've come from, leads us with a question for us looking at this first part of the sermon, which is, what does it mean for us? What does this mean for us? Well, the first thing is, we're heirs to the promise of God that he gave to Abraham. It might seem a bit strange. I don't know if anyone's ever been able to trace whether they do actually descend from Abraham or not. But the point is that actually it doesn't matter. The whole point of Jesus coming was that so we were adopted into this family that became God's people. We've been adopted in. And so because we are adopted, we get to inherit through God's promise. As well as inheriting this promise, we also suffer in the troubles of life. I'm sure we've all, as I mentioned earlier, when Alistair was talking about the timings of things, I'm sure we've all experienced things where we were waiting for something to happen, waiting for God to do something. And as Alistair said, God's timing is very different from ours. Maybe not 400 years, maybe not even 40 years, but certainly longer than we might hope. And that can sometimes mean that we do end up going through some really hard times. That could be something as painful as bullying at school. It could be a loss in the family. It could be all manner of things. There are things that we will go through. Could even lead to us experiencing persecution for believing in God. But this is something that we were told would happen. Jesus is very clear. He says, troubles will come if you follow me. But we also have this promise that God has got it sorted. God has our back. Indeed, Romans 8, verse 28, it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It's not great to go through bad things in life, but we know that we have a God who is with us in all things. In all the pain in our lives, physical, spiritual, and emotional, God is with us. And he will use all of that for his glory, even if we can't see it at the time. And then finally, we have a Savior we can turn to. We have a Savior who can also save us from slavery. Now, sometimes mentioning slavery can mean that some people get offended because we've misused the term, they say. But we do have a very real slavery that we need to be aware of. The bondage of sin. And the whole reason why Jesus came is so that we can seek God's forgiveness, because he has paid the punishment for us by dying on the cross. So rather than being slaves to sin, we are free and in relationship with God. So that's my thoughts from the passage so far. If you're wanting to know what's going to happen next month, we're going to do the next half, so feel free to read ahead in preparation, because I can guarantee you we're, again, not going to read the whole of the second half in one. We'll just have bits of it. But I wanted to offer a chance now for a response, a reflection on some of those things. And so maybe it's a case of thinking, well, what are those troubles in life? What are those things that that we're experiencing that we're wanting God to deal with, that we're struggling with, and we just can't wait for them to move on? Maybe it's wanting to know what the promise truly means for us, that promise that God gave to Abraham, that we are heirs to, that we have inherited through Jesus. Maybe it's a recognition of sin and the fact that we are slaves to that sin. Whatever it is, we're told that we can take it to the cross. Indeed, every week we say that we take it to the cross. All the devil's works turn to the cross of Christ. All of these different things we can take to the cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can know where we came from, who we came from. And it's not just a one-way journey that we come from you, but we're able to return to you, to offer things to you in prayer, lay them at the foot of the cross, knowing that Christ has paid the punishment for all we have done that goes against you. Father, we pray for all of those things that have been put at the foot of the cross. We pray for every single one of those problems, every one of those challenges, every one of those thoughts that people have put down. And we offer them to you, knowing that whilst our timing might be different from yours, we know that yours is the perfect timing. That you answer all prayer. And we pray that you would help us to listen for those answers. Amen.